This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Switchboard is a mental health NGO devoted to supporting our community, whether it be through their counselling service or just providing advice on the best way to cope during difficult times. In the midst of a toxic debate over religious freedom, Switchboard is releasing a self-care infographic that we could all take some tips from. The Informer spoke to CEO John Ball about why self-care is so important in times like these.
You know, I think at Switchboard Victoria, this isn't our first rodeo of sort of public campaigns that cause a lot of distress for the LGBTIQA plus community. Obviously the postal survey more recently, but also public debates about safe schools and going back and back in time of all the different campaigns. We know that when there is a campaign about our human rights, that of course it causes lots of distress and it exacerbates mental health issues in our community. So looking, we have every reason to believe that the Religious Freedom Act that's being tabled is going to do just exactly that. And mm-hmm. It's going to create a climate similar, we believe, to how people felt during the postal survey. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be worse for people who feel closer to the issue. So LGBTIQA plus people of faith, people working in faith-based organisations, mm-hmm. Attending faith-based schools. Mm-hmm. So on and so forth.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, this is the classic problem, I think, that exists in these kinds of areas, is that the people who are at the most risk are often invisible to a degree, because it's very hard for people under that kind of pressure to speak out. Because I think things like the Israel Folau debate, it feels almost academic when you unpack a lot of the issues, partly because the kids and the adults too, who are at the forefront of why it matters to not have public figures abusing a community effectively, putting out hate to a community, is that the people who really suffer, often it's very hard to speak out. It's very hard to actually talk about what they're experiencing, because they are under a lot of pressure and they're often in communities where they're experiencing a lot of hostility.
Absolutely. And I think there is all those unhelpful tropes around mental health that are there for everybody around mental health, but the idea of, you know, that you're a sook or a snowflake, mm-hmm. If you say that, you know, this is hurting me, this is affecting me, and I think, you know, that of course is for everyone around mental health. That's a stigma around mental health, is that we really don't create a lot of spaces for people to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, and if people aren't talking about their mental health, of course it can exacerbate into worse things. Mm-hmm. And what we really need to do is get more and more of us. We need to be, as leaders, we need to lead and talk about our mental health, and we need to be having conversations just like this, that mm-hmm. it's about encouraging people to talk about their mental health. And then seek help around their mental health. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still all these ideas that people feel really embarrassed about saying that they're seeing counselling. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I absolutely see a counsellor. Mm-hmm. It would be quite ludicrous if I didn't, given the work that I do. But even if I didn't, it's actually really important. And I think that still to this day, people feel embarrassed mm-hmm. about that stuff.
Mm. It's fine and it's normal to seek help in those kinds of contexts. I think as well, like having conversations about how we deal with the trauma of living in a society where your rights and your value as a human is regularly debated. Like, for example, I probably drink more than I should. Like, I'm not drinking at an alcoholic level. It's not something I need help with, but I read the news every day, like given, you know, the kind of work that I do, and a lot of it is awful. You know, like a lot of it's awful, and I can cope with it. I'm fortunate. I'm, you know, not, I'm in a position of economic and social privilege in a lot of ways, but still I get home and I want to have a couple of glasses of red wine to relax, because we're constantly inundated with hostility from groups like the ACL or from other organisations, you know?
Yeah, and I think that was exactly what we experienced during the postal survey, and lots of stories we heard through the switchboard service of people ringing us up and telling us that. And also that it reminded them of days gone by.
Yeah.
You know, it reminded mm-hmm. them of the unresolved conversations they'd had with their parents, mm-hmm. Bullying they'd had in school, and it mm-hmm. and it brought all those kind of things up. And I think something that's very painful during the religious freedom debate that we're having is also how it's being weaponized against us as the mm-hmm. LGBTIQA plus community. Because what I always want to say so loudly to these people who are saying that their religious freedoms are being impacted upon is that you're not the only people that are religious.
Yeah.
So many queer people are religious mm-hmm. and they polarize it and say there's those LGBTIQA plus radicals. They always mm-hmm. want to talk to us about being radicals. Mm-hmm. And then there's people of faith.
Yes.
And actually that's a binary that has to be absolutely rejected. It's mm-hmm. People, you know, all the time ring up who want to return to faith or are currently acting mm-hmm. Active members of their faith. So I think for starters you got to reject that. And then I think the idea that it's bullying to say that I don't want you to spread hate speech. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's quite a cruel thing that happens where mm-hmm. you've got like these leading people who run like the Australian Christian Lobby, and before that during the postal survey, people like George Pell, you know, which we know how that ended, who said that they were being bullied
yes.
by people who said, please stop using hate speech. Mm-hmm. And now Israel Folau is doing the same thing. He's mm-hmm. saying, I'm being bullied by people. And of course, I don't in any way condone internet trolling of yep. any sort of side of the political debate. And I think everyone should engage respectfully in things. But I think it's often the slightest criticism of like hate speech is shut down with this idea that it's oppressing people who are religious.
Oh, absolutely. And we've got to have a sense of proportion too when we get that kind of, like you say, that incredibly privileged whinge from people like the ACL and people like Folau. Like, we've got to put that in perspective. Like, the people who are on the other end of that are, you know, trans and gay and gender diverse and intersex kids in schools where they're often experiencing violence. They're often mm-hmm. experiencing bullying and hostility, sometimes from their teachers. And those are kids who, like, if you want to talk about freedom of speech, like the freedom to just live in the world as a human being, as you are, like, that's, you know, a freedom that often just does not get talked about anywhere near enough in the mainstream press. There is always this fixation on these figureheads who really, there's no way of cutting the Folau case. He's going to be, let's say he loses his case, he's unemployable, the bloke's got a $10 million mansion. I reckon he is going to be okay. Like, seriously, like, it's not to say the principles here aren't important, but if we're going to take the principles seriously, like, I think our community so often gets shut out, and some people don't think about the quid pro quo. You know, freedom of speech mm-hmm. matters, and that goes for our kids as well, you know?
Exactly. And it's, I think one thing I always try and talk about when I go out, and this debate, this issue comes up when I go out and speak to people about switchboard services. And one thing I always want to maintain is that, you know, human rights are not in conflict.
Mm.
Ideologies can be, mm-hmm. but actually human rights are not in conflict, and they're always pinned against each other. Always say, oh, if we have transgender women's rights, then women's rights will be eroded. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I absolutely reject that idea. And I also reject the idea that we can't have, I absolutely believe that many people, including many asylum seekers seeking to come to Australia, are absolutely freeing religious discrimination in their mm-hmm. own country, religious oppression in their own countries. So I absolutely want religious freedoms mm-hmm. and I uphold them and I believe in them, but I don't believe they're in any way in conflict mm-hmm. with our human rights as queer people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's absolutely right. So let's talk about this resource. Like, at its core, it's entitled Let's Talk Self-Care During the Religious Freedom Debate. Can you talk us through some of the suggestions that it contains and the logic behind some of them and how people can maybe apply them?
Yeah, I think that when this material is really like in recognition of the things that we learnt during the postal survey at Switchboard, and realising just, you know, that we really want to implore people in our community to seek help, but also to maybe take some proactive steps towards self-care. And I think self-care is absolutely it's a practice. It's something you have to actively do. It's not something that passively happens. And so this is a resource trying to give you some suggestions about how you can be active. So some of the suggestions we make for people are around social media. And I think that's a place where there's lots of flame wars going on, and lots of people end up engaging in debates that they later on regret or make them feel extremely vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So we're just making a suggestion to remind people that, and the words we use are mute the noise. Mm. And we're just telling people is to remember you can mute people on social media.
Absolutely.
There's actually lots of facilities that social media has put into to help exactly this.
Yep.
A lot of designers now recognise on social media that these facilities are needed for a range of reasons. So just use them.
Don't argue with Uncle Whatever, who you're never going to convince one way or the other. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And the other thing we were just... you know, there's a lot of trying to promote on it the idea of like talking to people. And so the whole brochure does encourage you to talk it out and talk to other friends and family in the community. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can talk to us at Switchboard, and that and our phone number and details is included on it. We're encouraging people to feel your feelings.
Yep.
So we don't want to say to people that there's anything wrong with being upset with what is going on. It's really important to feel them and to recognise your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's okay to be tired and exhausted of this crap. Like, we've all been dealing with it now for a really long goddamn time, and it can feel a little bit relentless. And it's okay to have a little cry or call your mum or your dad or your friends or go out and, you know, like it's like I think forgiving ourselves a bit when it comes to. You know.
There's no need to, you know, there's no need to white knuckle it through and just, you know, and in fact, there's a lot of damage that can potentially be done by doing exactly that, by repressing your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some, and what you'll often find is if you start expressing your feelings about how you're feeling at this time, is that it often gives permission to people to talk about how they feel.
Yep.
And you actually are doing a bit of a service.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, though, we want to encourage people to create safe boundaries. So if you are part of conversations that you don't want to be a part of, maybe you're at work and there's a debate in the tea room about religious freedoms, and maybe people are saying perfectly fine things that you agree with, but you're just over it. We encourage people to set up your boundaries and feel absolutely, give yourself permission to walk out of that space.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself permission to have time for yourself and just to not talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're LGBTIQA plus identifying doesn't mean that you have to be the person in your workplace or even in your family who has to answer all the questions.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there are resources online where you can refer friends and family to. It's not, really, as you say, is not on you to explain every single little bit of it.
And one of the things that when we're putting this resource together that I felt very passionate about was, and the title's called Curate Your Space. So it's an infographic I'm talking about that we'll be releasing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And the Curate Your Space was, you know, listen to music, try a new podcast or meditate. And one thing that was, I remember during the postal survey is I did put together a bit of a anthems songs playlist to listen to because each morning, I mean, I had to get up and do switchboard stuff in response to the postal survey, and sometimes I just, you know, I really needed to hear some big chunky 80s Pat Benatar ballads if I can share that with everybody.
That's great.
You know, like I think that, you know, remember those songs that make you feel really happy and put a list together. I mean, music is just so powerful. And also, you know, there's a bunch of podcasts that I listen to, and of course you can go and listen to Joy podcasts.
Absolutely. There's a lot of great podcasts from Joy. One podcast to give a plug to as well is Queer Stories, which is a wonderful podcast put together by Maeve Marsden. It's really funny. There's also some really powerful stories in there. And like you say, I think just jumping out of the news cycle in particular, and whether it's listening to stuff about science or a comedy podcast or a history podcast, I think can be really, really healthy too.
Yeah, and really, and I think these things are really about empowering yourself and not feeling like you can take like levels of control at this time, but it's not going to happen organically. It will be actual active steps, and that's what this infographic is all about. And of course, you know, at the bottom, it's got the Switchboard QLife contact details, 1-800-184-527. And you can, you know, there's also the Switchboard website. And, you know, so we also, apart from all this, we also want to say to people that, you know, reach out to us. Mm-hmm. We at Switchboard, we're putting on additional people during this time because we, that's what we did during the postal survey and that's what we're going to do again. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a lot of work to get people into volunteering, more people into volunteering and more people on the phones.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's really good, and I think it's a really important service, especially during these trying times. Joe, thank you very much for joining us here on The Informer.
Thank you.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.